In D&D, there is a parallel plane of existence characterized by darkness, decay, and shadows. Whether it's due to the terrifying creatures or locations that would make From Software take notes, it has served a source of inspiration for many dark adventures and campaigns. So today, we're going to talk about the dark reflections of this mirror plane, the Shadowfell. The Shadowfell is not a proper plane amid the astral plane, but rather it's one of the mirror planes of the prime material plane, to us the normal world, that exists as a parallel plane alongside it. This makes it more or less the evil version of the Feywild with its positive energy that also hugs tightly to the material world. This means that for every major landmark in the material plane, there will be some sort of dark and evil version of it in the Shadowfell, at roughly the same place. Mountains are reflected by looming crags, forests by gnarled groves, and cities by rotten and degraded citadels. The landscape itself is morphic and literally shifts to be as ominous and evil as possible, bleached of color and incredibly dark. The primary way mortals reach the Shadowfell demiplane is through passages called Shadow Crossings. As the Shadowfell is so closely tied to the material plane, the planes often briefly overlap and freely allow travel between them. You'll find these in particularly dark and dreary locations rife with necrotic energy, like graveyards, the creepy corners of basements, or anywhere that light and joy rarely reach. So for many of us, I suppose work could be on that list. Many of these crossings are permanent, and a deep cavern within the Underdark is a good place to find them. But many at the surface occur for only a single night or return with the setting sun, only accessible in true darkness. It isn't just darkness, it's advanced darkness. Flames and other bright light sources function here, but they're muted and work like dim light across the entire plane. They serve to give the blacks and grays definition rather than proper illumination in this negative energy plane. There's no sun here, no stars, nothing but an endless black canopy to oppressively cloak the shadow stuff landscape and necrotic energies. Adventurers will find that this world hates light, a spite shared by many of the inhabitants as well. It's also a fugue plane, which makes reality and consistency tentative at best. Shadowfell is infested with countless undead and dead creatures, particularly shades, wraiths, shadow mastiff, and spirits, but also the odd death knight or lich, and their zombified minions left over from the spell plague. Shadow dragons loom from the mountaintops, and fiends lurk in the deepest dungeons. Material plane creatures sometimes wander in as well through the shadow crossings and manage to survive the evil creatures there. Owlbears, umber hulks, wolves, and basilisks can all be found hunting the Shadowlands. Over many generations, these creatures have become saturated with the negative energy of the plane, becoming a form of undead called dark creatures, beings bleached of color and gifted with dark powers. Mortals also call the Shadow Plane home, though they do have to become dark creatures one with the plane. They are called Shades, though technically we haven't seen them pop up yet in 5th edition, but in previous editions these shadow people haunted the twisted Shadowfell streets. With a soulless lack of emotions, pointy teeth, and shadow powers, they straddled the line between monster and mortal inhabitant. In some editions, you had to do some specific nasty rituals to absorb shadow powers and become a Shade, and in some, just living in the Shadowfell long enough did the trick. So while the Shadowfell is already dark and spooky, it also links to even worse places collectively called Domains of Dread. These are nightmarescapes, or the domains of powerful evil entities who are usually trapped in the hells of their own design with their own lore. The most famous of these that you've more than likely heard about is the Castle Ravenloft ruled by the vampire Count Strahd. Domains of Dread can open up all over the place, but the Shadowfell is essentially next door, and most of the permanent passages to numerous Domains of Dread lie somewhere in the Plane of Shadow. Since I mentioned locations earlier, it's probably best to go over a few of those. The Shadowfell demiplane is highly morphic, which means the landscape is going to shift and change a bit every time you turn your head. The locations that stick are reflections of material plane places and cities. Every city back in the material plane has a dark and twisted version here with their own shadowy population and potential quests and conflicts. We haven't actually visited most of them in 5th edition yet, so they're all blank evil canvases for you to work with. The vast swamp back in the Forgotten Realms has a notable mirror version here called the Shadow Swamp, containing a mysterious form at the bottom of a magical trench called the Black Rift. There's also a shadow keep called the Shadow Citadel at its heart, just waiting for some evil rituals. The vast swamp is already dangerous enough, but with the interplay into an even darker and more mysterious shadow version, it makes for prime adventuring real estate.
That's free real estate.
The Shadowfell is also a favorite home to the goddess of death herself, the Raven Queen. Not quite the one from Critical Role, but hey. She keeps a castle here called the Fortress of Memories, filled with the memories and soul fragments taken from dead gods. She's also said to keep a divine realm here called Letherna, a dark ice fortress surrounded by a frozen wood. If you're looking for a location that's a bit more structured, take a dig through Thunderspire Labyrinth from Back and Forth Edition by Mike Merles. It's not 5th edition, but there's a ton of Shadowfell D&D lore to mine content from there. So your party has slipped down a particularly dark void and popped out into the Shadowfell. What next? Well, thankfully, we get a bit of mechanical impact found in the Dungeon Master's Guide called Shadowfell Despair. I'm sorry, players. Shadowfell Despair is an optional rule that they suggest you run if you want to emphasize just how creepy and unnerving the Shadowfell should be and the negative extreme emotions they'll be bombarded with. Once a day, either whenever you feel a situation is especially unnerving or at a set time, have each player that's not native to the Shadowfell make a DC 10 Wisdom saving throw. On a failed save, have them roll a d6 and use the table up on screen. And, not that any of these things is necessarily good, but I guess I'll take apathy because it's what I'm used to, I suppose. If a character fails a save but already has one from a previous failed save, they replace the old negative emotions with the new emotion. Whenever they finish a long rest, they can make a DC 15 Wisdom saving throw. It's a higher save once the despair sets in. And on a success, they end the effects. They can also get rid of despair with calm emotion spells or any magic that can remove curses. Unlike many of the other evil planes, the Shadowfell is actually fairly survivable at early tiers. Not that you couldn't pull a few shadow dragons out to challenge a high-level party, but the inherent despair effect is passable by low hit point characters, and there's nothing intrinsically lethal about it, unlike, say, Hell or the elemental chaos of the Plane of Fire, or even the Underdark with its dark elves. If your party does have trouble, try giving them something that deals radiant damage, since half the things they'll fight here will be weak to it. When adventuring at Tier 1, this early, a stay in the Shadowfell should be brief and frightening, which is most of my experiences with it personally, as usually with characters between 1 and 5 levels. They should be huddled in dark corners as hordes of undead and terrifying shadow creatures narrowly miss their discovery and subsequent devouring. The dark creatures are an excellent resource for creatures to fight, as are typical low-level underdark creatures like dark mantles or shadow mastiffs. For a quick and easy dark creature template, just apply this info to an existing creature from the monster manual and pump its challenge rating up by 1. Tier 2 is what honestly feels ideal for Shadowfell campaigns in a lot of ways. Not so low that you can't play around with all the fun evil creatures, but not so high that they aren't scared of anything. Still a bit low to be taking on the serious contenders of the plane, though. This is a good spot to fight a bunch of ghosts in the Shadowfell ruins, or maybe do a few quests for a suspiciously helpful shade, or even just a few random encounters as a prelude to entering a domain of dread. To make the Shadowfell encounters interesting at Tier 3, I'd recommend tying the adventures into a power struggle at one of the Shadow Cities like Chalcedon or Evernight. Or perhaps pit them against a particularly nasty Dark Wizard, Death Knight, or a Shadow Dragon. I've had particularly good luck narratively speaking with Death Knights. At this tier, the adventurers shouldn't be too worried about your average undead, and you'll have to start raising the stakes beyond just spooky things. At Tier 4, the Shadowfell monsters are actually a bit mild compared to what the players will be able to take on, unless they're clashing with the Raven Queen herself. Ironically, at Tier 4, I find the Shadowfell functions best as a normal staging ground and safe place to set against the real adventure taking place in an extremely nasty domain of dread linked by stable shadow crossing to the Shadowfell. That doesn't sound like too bad of an idea to start a campaign with, actually. I might do that. The Shadowfell offers an array of captivating opportunities for dungeon masters and players. I have personally been a part of a few sessions as a player that involved the Shadowfell, which is a shocking coincidence if for no other reason than I DM 99% of the time. And one of the best parts about experiencing the Shadowfell in this way is that it has sort of become something I'm grimly aware of across multiple characters, which can add to their world weariness, to say the least. Thank you guys so much for watching. I really appreciate it. Be sure to like and subscribe because we put out new content like this all the time. Go see what we're up to over on skullsplitterdice.com. And if you plan on taking an adventure to the Shadowfell, or if that's something that has come up in a very memorable adventure or campaign of yours, I would love to hear all about it down in the comments. My name is Patrick Ferguson from Skullsplitter Dice. Thanks again for watching, and until next time, farewell.